In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Hey, it's time to talk movies Monday afternoon. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue in Bangor and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams of The Main Edge here in studio, still icing his arm after a Cy Young-like performance, hurling the wiffle ball equivalent of about, 30 innings?
Yeah, no, it was a long day for me, considering the complete and utter lack of stretching or any sort of warming up. You go out there and, you throw that wiffle ball, 250 times. Turns out that causes things in your shoulder and your elbow to ache a little bit.
Well, listen, you had a lot right. The whole team rode your right arm to the championship game.
Yeah, we got there again. That was the 6 years in a row we've made appearances in the championship game.
Didn't need no stinking fireballer out there throwing heat. We had you confounding some of those. I felt bad. The young guys from Bangor High that we played, they were horrified that they could not hit you.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where it's like, you feel for it. I'm like, and you tell them straight up, it's like, I'm literally going to throw the same exact pitch over and over again. So yeah, you've seen one, you've seen them all. And yeah, it turns out, it's difficult to hit a junk balling wiffle baller.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it was fun as always, and a great cause. Wiffle for a Wish. Wayne Harvey does such a great job putting it all together.
Yeah, did I see they got like right up to like 10,000 this year? Like
absolutely.
That's absolutely fantastic. And congratulations to them. Like I know he works really hard to make this event come off, and as always, without a hitch. Like I had a blast.
Yeah, we always do. Honored to be a part of it as well. Wayne's Wiffle for a Wish. What did we get to see for movies this week?
Got to see a couple. I got to see the Hitman's Bodyguard, starring Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
And I got to see the Steven Soderbergh comeback movie, Logan Lucky.
Hearing real good things about that.
Good or bad? Which would you like to start with, Rich?
Let's start with the bad this week. Why not?
Well, so The Hitman's Bodyguard. It's an action comedy, and one of the things about action comedy, it's one of those movies, it's one of those genres that I think seems fairly easy on paper. Like, I think you can look at that and it's like, oh, yeah, you put two guys, you get some banter, you get some gunfire, a couple of car chases, some explosions, some vaguely European bad guys, bada bing, bada boom, you're done. And that's true. Like, you put all those elements together and you do get an action comedy. You don't necessarily get a good action comedy. And that's where the tough part comes in, because finding the balance, finding the chemistry between your leads, finding a quality setting, getting a narrative that's solid enough to hang your hat on, but not so convoluted as to take away from the fact that essentially you're just watching basically a buddy comedy. The Hitman's Bodyguard doesn't do any of that. Like it is not a good movie. It is not a good movie. In fact, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's a bad movie. But it's almost a bad movie. It stars Ryan Reynolds as a sort of high end security guy who basically protects like billionaires and assorted titans of industry and whatnot from the bad guys out there who are trying to take him out. But he loses a client in an unfortunate fashion at the beginning of the film, and rapidly falls from the peaks of the AAA rating that he continuously harps on throughout the entire course of the movie, and becomes just sort of a low-rent dude making sure coked-up lawyers don't get blown up by car bombs kind of situation. So he's in that situation. Meanwhile, you've got a war crimes trial going on at The Hague, featuring the Belarusian president, played by Gary Oldman, because of course he's played by Gary Oldman.
Okay.
So he's on trial for war crimes. And they can't find any hard evidence. But it turns out that Interpol has in custody a guy who can give testimony that will be damning to the president. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, so I'm just going to President Oldman. and it's a guy named Darius, played by Samuel L. Jackson, who happens to be a international assassin of some repute. He's in custody, and he cuts a deal to get his wife, played by Salma Hayek, out of prison in exchange for his testimony at this trial. Interpol gets ready to take Darius to The Hague, immediately gets ambushed because there's a leak, because there's always a leak. And Assassin Jackson and one other Interpol agent managed to escape to the safe house. Said Interpol agent also happens to be the ex-girlfriend of Ryan Reynolds' security guy. She calls him up because she can't trust anyone in Interpol and says, you need to get this guy to The Hague. They meet up. Turns out they have a history because, you know, he's a security guy. He's an assassin. Felix, Oscar, you know how this goes. And so they basically climb into a car in London, and they're going to make their way to The Hague. They have a 27-hour deadline because that's just how it works, apparently, in international tribunals. If you don't get the testimony by 5 p.m., this horrifying war criminal is going to go free. Then we have a whole lot of banter and car chases while the assorted henchmen and heavies dispatched by said Belarusian President Oldman go after Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson to try to prevent him from coming to give his testimony and so on and so forth.
I think what I'm getting from this description is that maybe it didn't work for you.
You know, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great experience. Samuel L. Jackson was fine. He's settled into a very, very much a one for me, one for them kind of pattern where he chooses some very interesting prestige kind of projects. And then he does projects where, you know, he either puts on an eye patch and gets an enormous check or says drops 100 or so MFers and gets a big check. This is the latter. Yeah, he curses a lot in this movie, like a lot. And then there's Ryan Reynolds, who Carrie and I have had a discussion about this on the air in the past. With the notable exception of Deadpool, I don't know that I've ever seen him in a movie where I didn't want to punch him in the face. That run continues with the Hitman's Bodyguard. Like he's sitting in the car, and it's just like every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Someone punch him. Samuel L. Jackson, will you please punch him in the face?
In the MF face.
Yeah, and he does get punched in the face a couple times, and that's very satisfying. He gets thrown through a windshield at one point, which is delightful. But ultimately, you have two guys bantering, and the chemistry just isn't quite right. Both of those guys are perfectly capable of doing that sort of banter thing, but they're like ships passing in the night almost. Like, it just never quite clicks between the two of them. The action sequences are fine. They do a lot of location stuff in Europe. So there are some interesting aesthetics going on. Car chases, stuff like that are fun. Oldman's fantastic. Putting on his generic Eastern European accent and just gnawing on scenery every time he shows up on screen, which is great. Like, that's kind of what you want Gary Oldman to do. But other than that, it just wasn't a lot there. And again, I'm not asking for Citizen Kane here. Like, this isn't like a movie where I need to have some sort of, layered, nuanced plot. But give me a story that I can at least hang my hat on a little bit. Instead, they basically tried to rely on the two leads, which I understand. But unfortunately, it just doesn't quite click. And then the end result is a movie that comes out in the middle of August.
All right. Well, let's get to Logan Lucky, the newest from Steven Soderbergh.
Now, I think we all kind of figured that when Steven Soderbergh said, "Oh, I'm not making movies anymore," I think we all kind of figured he was going to come back, because he, like, but his last movies were like 4 years ago, because he did it was kind of the double whammy. He did Side Effects and then the HBO movie Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace movie. But then he hasn't done a feature. I mean, he did his stuff with The Nick, that show. I never watched it, but by all accounts, it's just a phenomenal show on Cinemax. Stars Clive Owen, you know, period medical drama or whatever. And he directed a bunch of episodes of that. Like, he's series creator, executive producer, et cetera, et cetera. But happily, he's come back to the realm of feature film. And does so by really leaning into combining a couple of his really great strengths. One of which is, I don't know that anyone currently working does a heist movie the same way that that Soderbergh does. Like, he just, like, with whether you're talking about the Ocean's 11 movies or anything like that, like, he just has this real knack for that kind of caper kind of mentality when it comes to a movie. And he's able to draw really phenomenal casts and not only get them, but properly use them. And he's done that here. So Logan Lucky is, you've got a young man named Jimmy Logan, played by Channing Tatum, who is literally never better than when Steven Soderbergh is directing him. He's a down on his luck, former football star, hurt his knee, so he lost his shot at the NFL. He's got a great relationship with his young daughter, a less great one with his ex, a young lady named Bobby Joe, played by Katie Holmes, who I hadn't seen for a while, so that was nice. She's remarried and is, you know, it's raising the kid. They have a kind of antagonistic relationship, but they keep it together for the sake of the daughter. Meanwhile, Jimmy's brother Clyde is a veteran, lost part of his arm overseas in Afghanistan. He tends bar at one of the local watering holes, and he's got this sort of obsessive idea that the family has the Logan family kind of has this curse of bad luck on them. And then the third Logan is their sister Melly, played by Riley Keough. And she's like a local hairstylist and, you know, just a generally, you know, and they're a very tight-knit sort of family group. But when Jimmy loses his construction job and then discovers that Bobby Joe is planning on moving to Lynchburg, this all takes place in West Virginia. They're going to move to Lynchburg, Virginia, she and her new husband, her car dealer husband, and their kids. And so he's... You know, he wants to fight because he wants to stay close to his daughter. He hatches a plan to rob the Charlotte Motor Speedway because that's what you do. And he brings in his brother and his sister, but they need help because they have to break into a vault, which that brings in the imprisoned Joe Bang, an explosive expert played by Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig is in this movie. And so Daniel Craig and his brothers, Fish and Steve, they come together. It's all a big plan. They go to Charlotte Motor Speedway. Their plan is to do it on one of the down weekends. They have to get moved up because of construction changes, which means they're robbing it during the Coca-Cola 600, literally the biggest day in the entire year at the Speedway. And then it plays out exactly like Soderbergh heist movies play out, with these wonderfully meticulous bits and pieces, everything kind of coming together with brilliant dialogue, fantastic performances, and it's just incredible to watch. Like, it's one of his better movies, and that's saying something, because Soderbergh's done a lot of great stuff. The performances are awesome. Channing Tatum's great. Adam Driver's great. Daniel Craig is fantastic. But ensemble across the board is phenomenal. It's an absolutely outstanding movie. And I really can't say enough good things about it.
I'm looking forward to it. Logan Lucky, the latest from Steven Soderbergh. And an interesting approach to releasing the movie, right? That he kind of handled a lot of the distribution himself. And it didn't, at least opening weekend, was not a good weekend at the box office.
Yeah, it didn't get a lot of attention, which is interesting. I'm curious to see how that's going to go forward, because I think his intention is to continue doing this kind of thing with his movies. He's got one that's already in the can. There's no plot to speak of as far as anyone knows. It's called Unsane. I think it's a horror movie, actually. Mm. Shot entirely on an iPhone.
Wow.
Because, you know, you're Steven Soderbergh. Why not not do it with one arm tied behind your back?
There you go.
Yeah, so Logan Lucky's, it's a great movie. You got to go see it.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge, talking movies every Monday here on Downtown. Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Go ice that wing.
Yeah, will do.